Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the Discerning of Spirits module. And I tell you, this is the third gift of the Holy Spirit in the category called Revelation. And it's an exciting one. Now, let me just remind us, the Word of God's wisdom sees into the future. It sees into the mind of the Lord. It can be used in order to establish doctrine. And so what a powerful operation of God. It is not natural wisdom for everyday use. It comes as the Holy Spirit, what? As He decides. Then you have the word of knowledge. Now, this knowledge has to do with fact. It has to do with the present, and it has to do with the past. And it's through this wonderful gift called the word of knowledge that we understand how was the world created? How did this happen? You know, Job, how do we know about Job? Well, that was revelation through this operation. And so it gives information. It uncovers present tense or past tense information. Information your natural mind could never have access to without the Spirit of God revealing it. And now today we're going to go into the discerning of spirits, and it has to do with seeing into the realm of the Spirit. And so needed. Let me open in a word of prayer, and then let's get busy. Heavenly Father, we desire this charisma operation of the Holy Spirit. It is for the church. It is for us. And Lord, right now, we align ourselves to desire these gifts of the Holy Spirit, not just for our own personal use, but God, that the body of Christ all over the earth would have these wonderful operations of God in order to get the advantage. So, Father, we're asking for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, the Bible says, to another, the discerning of spirits. So Howard Carter said, the discerning of spirits is a gift of the Holy Spirit by which the possessor is enabled to see into the spirit world. By this insight, he can discern the similitude of God or of the risen Christ or the Holy Spirit or cherubim, seraphim, archangels, or the host of angels, or Satan and his legions. Lester Sumrall continued. Lester Sumrall declared that the discerning of spirits gives members of the body of Christ insight into the spirit world, a realm that their five physical senses, feeling, hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, cannot enter. The telescope can reveal the amazing stars in space. The microscope can bring to light the intricate mysteries of microscopic life. But it takes the gift of discerning of spirits to penetrate to the dividing of soul and spirit within a person. You kind of just have to take a little bit of time and just meditate, because those definitions are just amazing. And these are two men that operated in these gifts of the Holy Spirit with quite a lot of proficiency. And so it's wonderful just to kind of listen to what they have to say, and then let's study. So let's continue now with the manual. The discerning of spirits gives revelation into spiritual operations. In short, this gift is a seeing gift, and in many cases operates through visions, dreams, or trances. In some situations, the Holy Spirit uses this gift to reveal spiritual influences in the human heart. Jesus saw into Nathanael's heart, John 1, verse 47. Peter saw into Ananias' heart, Acts 5, verse 3. Nathanael had no guile, while Ananias had the obscurity of Satan. New Testament examples of this gift in operation would be when Jesus looked at Peter and rebuked Satan, Matthew 16, verse 23. Peter, in a similar situation, discerned that Simon, who once worked as a magician, was yielding to Satan out of a root of bitterness. Peter had no way of knowing this through his natural senses. The Holy Spirit showed Peter Simon's heart. Another example was found when Stephen looked up and saw into heaven. Remember, this gift is a seeing gift. Stephen, in this operation, declared that he saw the Lord standing at the right hand of God. The discerning of spirits opened Stephen's eyes to see what the natural eye could never see. Remember, the distance to heaven is far too great, and heaven is in another realm. Though this gift carries a diversity of purpose, it most likely is the key gift given by the Holy Spirit to help keep the church clean morally and its doctrine strong spiritually. My final thought pertains to the church in Ephesus and this gift. Before Paul left the Ephesian church, or the Ephesian believers, in Acts chapter 20, verse 29, he warned them of wolves that would endeavor to come into the church to devour the flock. He was preparing them to stand guard and to fight for the church. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus commends the Ephesian church for its stance against false apostles. Yes, the very ones that Paul saw coming. I cannot believe that their success in keeping these wicked people out of the church was without the assistance of this seeing gift called the discerning of spirits. And that's, as we get into this, you've got to say, you know, this is a gift that is vital to the church. It's vital to our own lives as well. You know, let's just remember, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to us to get the advantage. And so we need to be desiring these things. So let's continue Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Let's see how this charisma operation of the Holy Spirit operated in the land of Israel. Number one, discerning of spirits, Peter dealing with Ananias. Acts 5, verse 3. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Note, here we see the discerning of spirits in operation. The Holy Spirit revealed to Peter that Ananias was yielding to demonic counsel. Ananias' greed opened a door for Satan to fill his heart. This gift in operation opened the spiritual eyes of Peter to see what was working in Ananias' spirit. We understand through this passage how important this gift is to the body of Christ. As Ananias approached the altar of blessing, he, in fact, was exalting himself through deception and greed. The Bible teaches that as we draw near to God, God draws near to us. In this case, Ananias was drawing close to the Almighty, who is a fire from his loins up and a fire from his loins down. Ezekiel 8, verse 2, Hebrews 12, verse 2. Therefore, holy fire was drawing close to Ananias as he approached the altar where Peter was standing. James 4, verse 8. The Bible makes this point further in that great grace was upon them all. This great grace was the manifested glory of the Lord. No person present knew what Ananias was doing except the Holy Spirit. This portion of Scripture reveals the subtlety of how Satan works against the local congregation to keep it from rising in the glory of God, which ultimately is to be a light to the local community. It is these hidden operations of evil that affect the local church and its leaders, bringing them into a place of weakness, thus covering their light with a bushel, Matthew 5, verse 15. This gift, manifesting through Peter that day, helped deliver the local church from satanic obscurity operating in the hearts of two congregational members, probably two members that were wanting to come into leadership. So you need to sit back and go, especially if you're a pastor, you need to take this very serious because you need this in operation in the local church. And let me say this, pastors, yes, you're called to defend the local church, but not by yourself. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows how to minister and to deliver the local church. So take time and study that. That was crucial. Number two, discerning of spirits. Stephen looking up into heaven, Acts 7, verse 55 through 56. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Note, gifts of revelation reveal something. These revelatory operations of the Holy Spirit are like taking the lid off a jar to see into it. The word of wisdom reveals insight into the will of God, the plan of God, or a coming event. The word of knowledge reveals informational knowledge of things past or present. The discerning of spirits reveals or takes the lid off the spirit realm, thus allowing the recipient to see something that cannot be seen by the natural eye or the eye of natural reasoning. In this example, Stephen sees a spiritual vision of heaven and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The key phrase is, "I see." Because this is a spiritual operation, there is no limit on physical distance. Stephen was seeing into heaven, which is too far for the natural eye to see, not to mention it's in another realm. This gift is unique, a very unique operation of the Holy Spirit. To further explain this truth, we will need to look at 2 Kings 5, verse 26, when the prophet Elisha said, "Did not my heart go with you?" Elisha knew that Gehazi had gone after Naaman to take his gifts, which had been denied moments before by the prophet. This is not a word of knowledge because Elisha talks about seeing it happen rather than knowing it happened. Just as Stephen saw into heaven, Elisha saw the whole transaction between Naaman and Gehazi. Both the word of knowledge and the discerning of spirits are revelation gifts and can accomplish, in certain cases, the same end result. The difference is how they operate. Wow. Pause and meditate on that. How important is the discerning of spirits? Number three, Peter to Simon, Acts 8, verse 23. "For I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Peter, through the gift of the discerning of spirits, sees into Simon's heart. The Holy Spirit revealed the root of bitterness operating in Simon and how it was bringing him into iniquity. It appears that Simon humbled himself after this encounter. It is correct to note that in many cases, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, when manifested, bring the fear of the Lord upon cities, congregations, and individuals. The fear of the Lord is one of the seven spirits of the Lord that stand before the throne of God. Isaiah verse 11, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, excuse me. Revelation 4, verse 5. Revelation 5, verse 6. These seven spirits of Jehovah are the eyes of the Lord that are sent into the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who fear the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. In the Gospels, we see the same holy presence of reverential awe come upon many through the ministry of Jesus. Through this gift and the corresponding rebuke of Peter, the fear of the Lord fell on Simon. It's also proper to note the measure of authority Peter walked in, as well as this gift of the discerning of spirits that operated through him. Philip had healings and miracles working in his ministry, but Philip was not a chief apostle who had been given charge to watch and to care over the church of the living God. The gift of the working of miracles, which operates in power, is not the same as the authority to care for, feeding, and to watch over, guarding, the body of Christ. Remember, Stephen was full of faith and power, but his job in the church was to feed widows. There is great need for further teaching on the word that we call power, which is the Greek word dunamis, in contrast to the word authority, which is the Greek word called exousia. There is a difference between the two, and it is important to discern the operation of both. On many occasions, I have been aware of these two principles in operation during an anointed time of congregational worship. The difference is discerned as the pastor or leader of the particular meeting walks up into the pulpit. As a leader stands before the congregation, there should be a deepening in the presence of God due to the Lord's authority upon the pastor, an authority that the worship leader is rarely given unless he or she stands before the Lord as one of the five governing anointings found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Worship leaders can be very anointed, but they are not given the authority to watch over and govern the local assembly. Many anointed helpers have fallen prey to the wicked one by not understanding their position of ministry before the Lord's presence. Simply put, do what the Lord has asked you to do and be thankful. Don't try to do someone else's calling. If the Lord has called you to be an anointed worship leader, that's wonderful. Serve the Lord. But remember, when the pastor, the apostle, the prophet stands in that pulpit, there is a different realm of authority that comes, and we must honor that, because that authority is given to develop, to guard, and to propel what? The body of Christ into the will of God. Oh, there's a lot there. Number four, discerning of spirits. Philip has a vision of an angel. Acts 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go towards the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Note, there are occasions in the Bible when the angel of the Lord was physically manifested, as in the case with Elijah. Elijah was tired, depressed, and wanting to die. The Lord sent an angel to minister to him by cooking him a meal. 1 Kings 19, 5 through 8. In Elijah's case, no discerning of spirits was necessary. In this account with Philip, the Bible does not give clarity on whether the angel was manifested through a vision or if he was physically present. I took the liberty to include Philip's discerning him as an operation of this gift. The reason I included this was to stir the holy imagination of the student, that's you, to think and pray and to reach their own conclusion. If the angel came to Philip through a vision or dream, then this gift of seeing would have been necessary. The third option is that the writer of the book of Acts, being Luke, through a word of knowledge, knew that it was an angel, meaning Philip only heard or spiritually received the angel's command, a command which came to Philip under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So kind of slowly meditate on this. There's different operations that could be happening here that gives us this understanding of the angel. And so, but I lean towards the discerning of spirits. And so you pray about it. And that's what this lesson is all about. And I just want to remind the student, that's what this whole study is about. It's to get you moving forward, to get out of the ditch of mundaneness and begin to say, you know, I want more of God, and I want to walk in the power of God. Oh, well, that's why we're doing this. That's why you're studying. Number five, discerning of spirits. Paul sees Jesus. Acts 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecute me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Note, as the glory of the Lord fell upon Paul's traveling band of persecutors, they all found themselves on the ground before the Lord. They all saw the light. They all fell. They all heard the initial voice that said, Saul, Saul, why persecute me? But only Paul saw the Lord and heard his voice. The difference between what Paul's friends experienced and what Paul experienced came through the operation of the discerning of spirits. Paul saw Jesus and heard Jesus. His associates did not. Wow, there's a lot there. So let's just pause there. And we're going to pick up with the second part. We're going to pick up with number six. And let me just close in a word of prayer. But as you're going through this, I want you to begin to challenge yourself on what you're seeing the Bible say the discerning of spirits is versus what a lot of people say, well, I have the gift of discernment. Well, no, it's not your gift. This gift comes as the Holy Spirit wills, and it's a gift that opens things up where you're seeing, you're perceiving with a strong knowing, such as Jesus when he looks at Peter and says, Satan, I rebuke you, okay? And so there's a lot of people that have a feeling of this and a feeling of that, and they say they have the gift of discernment. And there is no gift of discernment. Now, there is maturity through prayer, sensitivity to the Lord, understanding the Word of God, that you can naturally discern good from evil. And that's a part of righteousness, maturing in righteousness. But that's not what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a gift, a charisma operation of the Holy Spirit that comes as the Spirit of God wills. And it gives the church the advantage. So let me close in prayer. Father, we receive this. Help us to learn. Help us to rightly divide the Word of God so that we operate with clarity. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.